I love nothing more than to be dragged out at every fucking conceivable opportunity so you can fucking quarantine us! Guess what? Fucking pronouns!
If there's one thing that's become painfully clear over the last couple weeks, it's that the people who work in this industry hate you.
And then you start saying that Harry Potter was for children and that the entire cast of Harry Potter hates me. And I'm like, bro, you see who's at Universal Studios, right? And who's buying everything, right?
Adults.
We just wanted to be wizards. We just wanted to be silly little wizards with our silly little wands in Britain. So no, they won't let us.
Welcome to WOKE Public Radio with your hosts, Western Kabuki. On today's episode, we're discussing ethics in gaming journalism, how the woke mind virus has infested the video game industry, and whether or not it's finally time for a gamer revolution. Don't forget to support WOKE's Pledge Week on patreon.com/WesternKabuki, where we'll soon be offering limited edition WOKE tote bags free with your tax-deductible gift.
It's the Twitter Fund!
All right, welcome to Western Kabuki. Joined as always with Alex. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I was gonna say I'm excited to talk about what we're talking about, but I am distinctly not excited about it. This is also terrible marketing. The people who are listening should not shut it off because it's worthwhile. It's just a bunch of nasty creeps. But how's that different from any other week?
Yeah, that's like most of the episodes we do is we talk about nasty little freaks, weirdos, perverts. That's the whole gambit. Yeah.
How are you doing, June?
I'm doing great. We talked about fun gaming stuff. We just finished talking about Melee and the freaks in that community, and now we're expanding to the real like politically horrifying like reality of our world within gaming. It's gonna be I am excited to counter Alex. I am excited because I think this sort of stuff is like genuinely kind of interesting, like not fun or good, but it's like an interesting pipeline to kind of witness like play out in front of us.
It's worth talking about and everything. I'll just say this, like, it has genuinely like made my mood worse. Like, since I started reading about all this stuff, first it was like kind of a little funny. And then it, like, the more you get into it, it's just like the original Gamergate stuff to a degree. It's like, God damn, this is just so insidious. And I just gotta say, as somebody who's consumed hours and hours and hours of like gamer content, I fucking hate gamers. Gamers are incapable of making anything good. And I'm not even just talking about their political opinions. I'm talking about like all the shitty goddamn podcasts I listen to that like, they're not funny. They're all just, they're just these nasally weepy nerds that are just so pissed off.
Okay.
About
all right. Okay.
You can say you're talking about our podcast. You can.
It's just astounding. Like how like low quality, everything that the gaming community is able to produce when like games, if you guys don't know this, like the gaming industry is like worth more than the music industry and the movie industry combined. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like there's not like a whole lot of production quality going into like a lot of the commentary on this stuff. You know what I mean?
It's a very weird sort of like, it's a very weird sort of medium that fell through the cracks in that it has still never figured out. Like, first of all, there's no critical engine around it like there is about books or movies or TV, because all of the fans of it go insane, so every game has to get an 8 or above, right?
That's the whole IGN thing.
But a part of that is, if you can't have criticism of culture, you can't really have culture. They don't have much of anything other than the games themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that there's like a lot. I do think there's good game criticism around. I think that I don't want people to think that I don't, but like, also, most of the people I know who do games criticism are consistently harassed by absolute fucking psychos and doxxed and chased around the internet.
Any sort of institution or orthodoxy is immediately torn down or like they're chased out.
Yeah, right. I mean, that was like the whole original Gamergate thing, is that there was a bunch of these like reactionary right-wing like psychopaths essentially that were just, the whole point was to harass individual people. I mean, like there was a larger point of politics to it, but like at the time, that's what it was. That was like the kind of starting point for gaming harassment, if you want to put it that way, like inter-community gaming harassment of like journalists and like people talking about games.
The politics stuff was a fig leaf. If any of you are too young for Gamergate, I'm going to give you like the very capsule version, which is there was a game developer who had had relationships with game journalists, romantic relationships. One of those relationships soured, and that person wrote a long screed, I think on Tumblr, about this person that he was dating. And when it came out that she had dated people from magazines that had given her project's favorable coverage, it became the fig leaf was, well, this is about ethics and games journalism, which was the thing that's been repeated over and over again. But what it was really about was a convenient way to harass people who had been making, again, legitimate criticisms of, and even not legitimate criticism. Who gives a shit? People who had been making criticisms they didn't like about sexism in games, about things like that. And the result of that was, it was like 5 years of people being like, I can't believe they created like an optional female character in this game. That's because of the rampant political correctness in the games industry. And it now just feels like we're in a time loop. Like we are right back.
That's how I felt. Like when Caleb first put this on my radar, I'm like, oh, we literally time traveled back 10 years exactly to this date, almost basically. Like time is a loop. Like the shit just
which is of, interesting too, because it's a lot of the same characters it from is. The original Gamergate.
Speaking of Caleb though, like you're like the neat Stradamus here. Like, you fucking figured out you told us about this weeks ago. You were like, Gamergate 2's coming. And as soon as the words Gamergate came out of your mouth, I was like, my eyes glazed over and I was like, well, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
But you were totally right. It has absolutely become what it is. And like you are, you know a lot about what's going on here, and you've obviously been paying attention and researching and exploring these weirdos. But what is it? How did you know? Like, how did you know this was coming?
So I have to give big ups to a lot of my friends that I've made along the way on Twitter and particularly some of our maniac listeners in Discord, because this episode definitely would not have happened without some of the guys in the Discord. So shouts out, because it was like, I kept getting like, this is okay. So this has really popped off in the last few weeks, but in reality, it's been going on since like last fall. And what had happened? Well, here's a timeline. So, it really started in like the 4chan's video games forum V, where somebody had noticed the Sweet Baby Inc. It's just like a consultancy firm. I'm sure most of you by now will probably have heard this much, but Sweet Baby was brought onto the radar in 4chan originally, not the Steam page, which will come into play months later, and then. Of course, Kiwi Farms gets a hold of it. And what I found interesting about it, because I read the entire, not quite the entire, because it's like 200 pages or something, but I read a substantial amount of the Kiwi Farms thread and watched it kind of evolve from their perspective. But what I found like interesting about that is on the first page back in October of 2023, there was a Kiwi Farms user that like correctly diagnosed some of the things that we're going to talk about, particularly like the fact that these like consultancy firms don't actually have really any institutional say over like the storylines or like how games are made at all. That's like a complete farce to even think so. I'm not going to say their name because they say horrible things or whatever. If you want to find the Kiwi Farms thread, it's available. We're not going to link that, but this guy says, quote, there's no chance that a handful of mercenary writers, not even important enough to be credited for additional writing, are solely responsible for every single problem in the gaming industry. And as nice as it is to see people finally realize how much of a problem contracting and outsourcing has become, it really shifts the blame off of the dogshit studios and publishers. I'm not going to go on because the quote continues from there and he says some bad stuff. But
yeah, no, of course, like that dude isn't a good dude. Let's be clear. Like,
yeah.
So for anybody who hasn't heard about this, can you explain what Sweet Baby is? They're a consultancy that works with companies, but like, what do they do?
From what I understand really briefly, like before you give like the full context, like this seems to be really intertwined with like the current conservative fascination with like DEI funding, mm-hmm. and like and like consultancy agencies, which I think DEI, like the
ESG
diversity
funding.
Yeah, yeah. No, like those like topics, I think they're the way the discourse is going to play out. Like, I feel like it's going to really be clear that like all of this is converging all on each other. Like these topics of conversation.
Yeah, DEI and ESG, they're like the North Star of like anti-wokeness now. And we'll get into that too. But so like to zoom out a little bit, Sweet Baby Incorporated is one of many consultancy firms that do like, say you are a studio and you have a writing staff and it's mostly like white guys, because that's a big part of like who makes video games, right? Institutionally, it's like white males. And so this company exists to say you like, you have a black guy from the Bronx in your story. Well, this company would be like, okay, this might be how this guy would react to the situation, or this might be how they would speak. Here's their mannerisms. This might be what they would wear, that kind of thing. Again, like a consultancy firm would. This is no different than the fact that these companies also partner. Like if you, for Madden, there are sports entertainment consultancy firms that are usually made up of like former NFL players that will consult on aspects of those games, or the Department of fucking Defense has a Hollywood liaison office that actually kind of approves things for how movies are made. And they also work hand in hand with gaming studios. But because this is perceived to be woke, this is kind of like what sets this off. So in the original Kiwi Farm thread, which I've linked in the notes, you guys can look at it if you want, beware. It's kind of an outline of that 4chan thread of just like, hey, here's this consultancy firm and here's some of the games that they've worked on, and this is wokeness. They tried to tie, I couldn't confirm this one way or another, I ran out of time. They tried to tie the founder of Sweet Baby Inc. to like being essentially like, it's like a Jewish plot. He puts a screenshot of like somebody's LinkedIn and tries to present it as hers, as the fact that she's like Jewish or was like taught Jewish studies or something, but you can't tell that it's actually her profile. And there's a really, of course, again, this is Kiwi Farm, so it's very anti-Semitic. So it's kind of like they're keeping an eye on it. It's being pipelined through just your typical channels that those things come down through, Telegram and then some of these other, and the Chans and stuff like that. But what we're talking about this today for is because that goes on up until there's a guy, Cabrutus Rambo. He's the guy who made the Steam curator page. And if you don't know what that is, it's essentially like you can make a playlist like you might make of like songs, but you can make it for any reason. These are my personal top five, my top 10 games of the year, or here are 10 sci-fi games that I like, or whatever bullshit. You know, anybody can make a curator page for anything. So this guy makes a page that's like, these are Sweet Baby Detected is what it's called. These are games that Sweet Baby has worked on. And they pulled this in large part from Sweet Baby Inc.'s website, because they have their portfolio on there. And that in of itself isn't really that big of a deal. But what happens is this turns into, because it's Kiwi Farms, because it's the Chans, they're starting to like dox and harass members of employees and everything of Sweet Baby Inc. And
which is like a really small company. There's only like what, 10 to like 20 people at this company.
16. It's 16 at this time.
Yeah, it's like not like a peacemaker in the community. It's not like they're not moving mountains. They're just like a small firm.
They're by even that, like in within that space, even. So I talked to you guys before we started recording, but I spoke with a couple different people in the industry, varying from just like game developers to high level executives from some pretty large studios in the bigger ones in the country, and just kind of asked them like, how do these consultancy firms work? Like what kind of reign do they have, or how, you know, just kind of got the ins and outs of it. And Sweet Baby Inc. was really not on a ton of people's radar. They worked on a couple of big games, Spider-Man 2 and Alan Wake 2. Spider-Man and Alan Wake 2 were the big ones, but the list is out there. You probably have already seen it at this point. I don't know when this episode is going to be released, but at the rate that things are kind of avalanching, I'm assuming a lot more people are going to know about this than when we started the research for this. But point is, Sweet Baby is really not that big of a player in all of this. They're just one of many consultancy firms that does this exact kind of thing.
But it never is, right? Because I mean, it's the same thing with like Dylan Mulvaney. You go after some tiny creator,
yeah,
some tiny consultancy that can't possibly fight back. And then it becomes this thing where you can show this substantive defeat by being like, well, look, we made this person like give up or go into hiding or buckle completely or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you get this concrete victory by scaring off the tiniest possible group of people.
Yeah. So really what kind of sets this off and makes it go mega viral is one of the employees at Sweet Baby is an artist, Chris Kindred, who they make fantastic. They're a fantastic illustrator. I looked at their website and it was very good. But they're, you know, at this point they're getting harassed. And Chris Kindred says, makes a thread on Twitter and is like, hey, this is, by the way, in February. So we're still not even in March yet. And says like, hey, we're getting harassed by these people. Here's the curator page and let's like mass report these people and get it down because like our employees are getting harassed and this sucks. Now, you could argue that Chris made a tactical error here because I don't think that like Cabrutus or the, I guess the Steam curator page really was the issue because it was, again, this had been going on the Chans and on Q-Farm. This is not to blame Chris or anybody at Sweet Baby because that would be fucked up to do. But like really what this did was provide kind of like a rallying cry for this community. Like, hey, this confirms your worst suspicions that the woke mob is coming to take down and censor and this and that and that. And then immediately, this is like, this was probably right about when this kind of came on my radar. Is when this was happening and it starts to go fucking mega viral. Like I got into their Discord when it had fewer members than ours does. Now it's got, I think over 10,000 or something.
Yeah. Like
now
when you first like brought it to our attention, I was like, oh, this is like just like this is flash just going to blow over. Thing. Yeah. Flash in the pan. It's going to blow over like in a week. No, like Gamergate 2 is not going to be a thing. It's going to be like the Wii U, you know, like the Wii U came out. Everyone was like, oh, the Wii U, like everyone loves the Wii U. We love the Wii U. And then the Wii U was canned in like a year or two. Like I thought that's what this was going to be, but no, it really has like you caught this right at the like flash point, which I find crazy.
I think that what kind of staying power it has, and we'll talk about that at the end, I think a little more is it remains to be seen. As of yesterday, Elon Musk and Libs of TikTok, of course, and Matt Walsh all like jumped on this immediately. And so that gave it a lot because it seemed like it was starting to fizzle out a little bit. But now that that's in play, I've watched the numbers in Cabrutus's Discord go up and kind of seen this more in the mainstream. More articles are being written about it. So maybe not Gamergate 2, maybe Gamergate 1.5, it remains to be seen. But I do think that Elon signal boosting it along with Libs of TikTok shows some pretty transparent things about how like this is close to an election and this is happening for a fucking reason, right? That's not a coincidence. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later. If you want to pull up that Wired article, Alex, that would be great. We can read from that and then we can talk about a little bit more of that stuff.
Yeah. The accusations began around the release of Spider-Man 2 last October. More came when Alan Wake 2 hit a week later. They were all over the replies to the social media accounts of Sweet Baby Inc. Hateful comments, many of which hinged on the idea that the Montreal-based narrative development and consulting company was responsible for the, quote, wokeification of video games, recalls Kim Belair, the company's CEO. In the months that followed, the noise only increased. You made this character black, or you added these gay characters, or you ruined the story, Belair says in the comments, the tone of which, she adds, never changed. Neither have the demands of the people behind them. It's usually, leave the industry, Belair says, or admit there's truth to the wild conspiracy theories about being involved in investment company BlackRock.
Yeah, so let's pause there for a second. This is a big part, and we touched on this earlier, June, where ESG is like a big part of this because that's like the North Star of like anti-wokeness. So the thought is that because these games are financed by venture capitalist firms and because it's such a massive industry that they would like have to hire these consultancy firms to increase their ESG score. And if you don't know what an ESG score is, Google it. But like, essentially it's like a rating that investment firms would give to a company to see like how profitable and safe it would be to invest in a company.
It's been talked about very cynically by right-wingers, of course, lately, because they've been able to like rope that into like wokeness and like talk about like, oh, like if your ESG score or EGS, I don't even fucking know.
ESG.
If your ESG score is higher, like you get more funding and like the way you get that score higher is like you are like nice to trans people or you are like good to your like gay like employees. So it's like, of course, they're able to like tie it back to that like wokeness, that overarching like web of wokeness, like anti-wokeness that they run the gambit on and have been for like years now.
It's interesting too, because you really have to like assess what is the ontology of like wokeness, because to these people, it's really just a cudgel to beat over your head for anything that you don't like. Oh, you see a black person, or you see, you know, a woman who's half her head is shaved, or whatever like grievance you personally have and are pissed off about is could be considered woke.
Yeah, I mean, but like even to this, I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen those posts on Twitter where it's like they post a picture of like a tomboy like woman, and they're like, oh, this is woke, and it's like, no, she's like a conservative. Like, are tomboys woke now? It's like it literally can mean anything that these people want. It's insane.
It should be noted too that in a lot of these instances where they're like posting how like ugly female protagonists in video games have gotten, a lot of times those are like digitally altered anyway. And they, I don't know, like, it's like the Horizon one is the one that kills me. There's like one that's floating around. It's like very obviously Photoshopped from, cause I played that game and it's a great game. But it's not like, first of all, she just looks like a normal woman. And second of all, like you can't prove your point and you have to like digitally alter the photo anyway. But, like when we're talking about what ESG actually is, I just need you guys to understand that BlackRock and Vanguard are the names that come up with Sweet Baby as an association all the time, which, by the way, I looked. There is fucking no association between Sweet Baby and BlackRock. They're not connected. They're not owned by BlackRock. There is no connection there aside from the imaginations of the people that are mad right now.
BlackRock has in the last like year really become like the like word. It's like the new Soros in a way, yeah. Where they're just like, oh, it's BlackRock. Oh, BlackRock funding. It's like, it's basically utilized and like people are like, these organizations are accused, and like let me be clear, like BlackRock does kind of own a lot and does do
they're
a lot of
a
funding.
Fucking terrible company. They're horrible. They deserve to get scrutinized, yeah. but not like this.
Yeah
like,
no
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like they should be disliked for being like funding weapons manufacturers that like will kill like civilians in different countries, not because they give funding because of a company being pro-trans. Like, you know,
you can have a low interest rate because your protagonist in your video game has blue hair. Like, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have like the intellectual capacity of a child to think that's how this works. They don't care. If you think that BlackRock has like this like leftist ideology that they're like, driven by this, you are a baby. I mean, I would say that there are some critiques that could be made over this, because when you talk about, oh God, when you talk about like ESG and stuff, what you're really doing is talking about like, how safe is this company to invest in and how am I going to make my money back? It's like similar, not the same, but similar to like how human resources companies and big companies really like human resources in big companies can't be the vanguard of like your social politics. Because if you're like leading, if the bleeding edge of like your politics is like what's socially allowed in a company, you're running into a lot of problems. And it's very cynical. ESG can be critiqued in a very cynical manner in that way. But again, what they're imagining this thing to be is like, okay, well, ESG owns all these like consultancy firms that will like force video games to be more woke, to push their agenda. And there's a clip, Kim Belair, is that her name in the article, Alex? I'm sorry, I completely forgot her name.
Yes, Kim Belair.
Well, there's a clip of her talking, she's the founder of Sweet Baby Inc. And there's a clip of her talking about how, like, it was in some sort of conference for like people who work in games that like want more inclusivity and stuff like that. And she's like, if you're not getting like the response that you want from your managers, like, here's what you should do. Go out for a cup of coffee with your marketing team and scare them by saying, hey, if we don't have somebody that like looks over our scripts and stuff like that, and we could run into a problem or whatever. And to this, that's like the smoking gun for these guys. But really what she's doing is just saying like, you know, like, these consultancy firms exist for a reason. And that reason, frankly, to me, that seemed pretty nakedly transparent, is like kind of a cynical reason they exist. I mean, not necessarily. I don't want to like set off any alarms that I'm like becoming a gamer because I've spent 2 weeks with them or whatever. But like, like there are critiques that you can make of this in the sense that like, okay, maybe they exist for cynical purposes, but I actually don't.
The thing to keep in mind is like, every business is trying to maximize profit.
Exactly.
There's very few businesses that stand on ideology. And to do that, they're trying to be as inclusive as possible.
Which, yes. If you think of it, like, that's like the thing that like people who are pro-capitalism will always say, where it's like, well, of course, these companies will want the most profit and try to appeal to the widest audience possible. So of course, it's just like smart for these companies to yes. try to appeal to like trans people or black people or like what people would call woke.
Yeah. You know? As capitalism seeks to appeal to like new markets, this is like the end result. And for the record, I actually don't think that there's anything wrong with these kinds of firms. I think that they're good. For the most part, you know, maybe they could be cynically used or overused, and that's a whole different discussion. But
yeah, I mean, there's the whole like critique of rainbow capitalism, but that's like that's a different sure. topic from how like these right wingers are kind of coming at this.
Completely night and day different. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to keep going on the article, Alex.
Belair says the comments, the tone of which she adds, never changed. Neither of the demands of the people behind them. It's usually leave the industry, Belair says, or admit there's truth to wild conspiracy theories about being involved with investment company BlackRock, Sweet Baby is not, or more succinctly, just die. Mm. Online, those clamoring for Sweet Baby's demise are calling it Gamergate 2.0, invoking the online harassment campaign that erupted into a culture war a decade ago. Oh, God, it's been a fucking decade.
Yeah, it's like oh, almost on the dot.
Feel so fucking old. Gamergate formalized a playbook for online harassment used by hate groups in the far right. It inspired figures who would later tap into that outrage and rise all the way to positions of power, such as chief strategist at the White House. I assume that's about Steve Bannon.
Yeah, we'll talk about him a little
bit. The two movements do share a handful of similarities. Harassment campaigns flooded with falsehoods and accusations bordering on conspiracy, attacks aimed primarily at women and people of color, the idea that video game culture is for cis white men being stolen, from them. People want to believe that our work is surgically removing the things that they would have liked. Change this line, make this line less racist, she says. That's just not the reality of it. It's no coincidence that the campaign against Sweet Baby is taking place during a contentious election year. Large-scale harassment campaigns like this fuel and are fueled by political events. Reads a statement from the mental health nonprofit Take This, whose research director, Rachel Cowart, is an expert in extremism and radicalization in video games. As political rhetoric heats up ahead of the U.S. presidential election later this year, this kind of online activity is going to ramp up, and it's important to understand these phenomena are interrelated. I feel like you had some thoughts about
that. Yeah. Okay. It's no coincidence. Like, right-wingers have been kind of pipelining through video games for decades. This is not, by the way, a coincidence that all of a sudden – this is kind of fueled by the moment a little bit in the sense that like, okay, this thing has been going on since October. Well, we're getting closer to the election. And now all of a sudden, oh, what a fucking coincidence. Matt Walsh has made a video on Sweet Baby Inc. Oh, what a fucking coincidence. Elon Musk somehow cares about this thing, or the libs of TikTok is she's just like making up lies about what these people are actually doing.
Let's like think about this. Like why libs of TikTok is just like some person. Why does she care about
gaming? She ever played any of these games?
No, like, no, there's no way. I'd bet money on my life. I would Matt be willing Walsh to bet my life
on video
this.
Games, yeah. By the way. Yeah, he hates video games. And actually in the Sweet Baby Detected Discord, which I think it's very funny, they fucking hate Matt Walsh. They really? Talk shit about Matt Walsh. They think that because he doesn't like video games and he talks shit about video games. So they don't like him because he's essentially written off their entire identity. And I think that they're correct, even like political opinions outside. I think it's like very stupid of Matt Walsh to dismiss this massive titan industry because he thinks that they're dumb or whatever. Like even just for his own interests has very... been very negative and dismissive towards video games as a whole, but he all of a sudden is in the fight on this. Why do you think that is?
I came upon a very funny YouTube video today by a right wing video game channel called Geeks and Gamers, which was them basically doing like the debate guy technique of watching Matt Walsh's video about the Sweet Baby situation and dissecting it line by line and being like, you're such a fucking fake fan. Like you've always talked shit about video games. And now you're acting like you just discovered that there's like something wrong in video games and it's the biggest industry in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you, Matt Walsh.
Yep.
And I was like, it is very funny to watch these.
The girls
these
are fighting.
That's awesome.
That is one of the few upsides to this.
Yeah, I love that they have principle still. Like they might all be freaks and have horrible politics, but they draw the line at hating gamers still. Like they don't want to ally with people
gamers
going against.
First.
Yeah, and that's like the weird thing that this is like reminding me of, that like gaming is like a gamers are like a political identity. It's crazy.
There's like an economy, or maybe like, it's not the right metaphor to use, but there's like a section of real estate that's like acceptable for the normies to exist in. And there's a fight for that those pieces of real estate by right wingers. You know what I'm saying? So you have like people, and by the way, I'm not going to downplay how horrible that Discord is. I've been watching it there. It's just like insane 1488 peppies and all that stuff. But the guy who, that Cabrutus guy, I don't think really understood what he was getting himself into. He just kind of like Mr. Magood his way into like rubbing elbows with all these fucking ideological fascists. Like he's done a lot of interviews. I think that he's got bad politics and stuff like that. He's not like a good guy or something like that, but he really wasn't prepared for this moment. And like, he's like really trying hard to like say, hey, let's stop doing harassment. And like, I watched him multiple times, like stop posting Hitler content in here. Like that's not what I want.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what this is. He doesn't understand Gamergate is. He doesn't understand the purpose of these mass harassment campaigns. He
thinks
get
that
it.
Elon Musk just agrees with his, like, let's not have like women with blue hair in games or something. He doesn't understand like the insidious like back channeling and all this, the reason that this is happening.
Yeah.
And again, that's not to like, I'm not trying to give it to ISIS here or whatever, but it's just like funny to see that happen. But like all that is to say that there actually is like a contingent of like normies in there that are like, okay, well, my whole identity, and like, maybe they don't really have great politics. Maybe they're just garden variety, apolitical centrists or even conservatives that aren't like hateful, but like games, like you see a lot of this kind of rhetoric where like, I play video games to get away from politics, stop injecting politics into my video games.
Yeah, that's always the line, is
and
stop
so
bringing politics
that right
into
there
it.
Is like the most, that is fucking Park Place and Boardwalk Monopoly real estate if you're Steve Bannon or Elon Musk or any of these fucking ghouls, because you can pipeline those people.
Usually what that statement means is you're amenable to right-wing politics. Someone who's like even slightly like liberal, typically like some of those people might be liberal, but these people are far more open to right-wing radicalization than anything else.
Anyway, you want to keep going on that article, Alex?
Yeah. Media Matters reports that platforms like YouTube and 4chan have already become rallying points for what users hope to turn into the second Gamergate, asking if their fellows are, quote, ready for the second Great War.
The LARP on this is crazy.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, owner of X and one of the richest men in the world, has retweeted a post claiming Gamergate 2 is underway, while libs of TikTok, a far-right account that regularly targets LGBTQ plus people, inspiring vicious harassment of individuals and bomb threats against schools and hospitals, is currently targeting a former Sweet Baby developer who's since gone on to another studio for speaking out about creating a safe environment for a team of color. Amidst all of this, Sweet Baby, a 16-person outfit in an industry of tens of thousands, has become a lightning rod for a new, rapidly growing campaign against the specter of, quote, forced diversification. According to one Sweet Baby writer, there was a significant uptick in harassment aimed at the company after the Steam Group's creation, Sweet Baby Inc. detected harassment, the Sweet Baby Inc. detected group, including sending harassing texts and DMs. Wired's agreed to withhold this writer's name for their safety. They're treating this like a holy war, they say. It's taking on a cult-like vibe. In an interview on YouTube, the man who claims he started Sweet Baby Inc. detected says his interest in the company began with God of War Ragnarok, a game he admits to never having played, where he noticed things were different and wondered, why is this game like this? Navigating to Sweet Baby's website, he recounts looking over projects they'd worked on, like the massively successful Spider-Man 2, another game he says he's never played, and noticing a pattern. I wonder what that pattern would be. Is it characters of color? Is that what
maybe
it is?
Who knows? Who could really tell, honestly? What they just don't want politics, you know?
Sweet Baby Inc. detected's creator, who says he's based in Brazil, never explains exactly what that pattern is, instead using buzzwords like, quote, woke products and, quote, virtue signaling, and noting that several of the games had a, there it is, extremely diverse cast.
Wow. Holy shit.
Later in the interview, he complains that, quote, our games, our entertainment, the stuff we love, are utilized for this kind of stuff, political agendas. It's so interesting what people think a political agenda is.
Yeah, no, the fact that just like, I don't know, like I feel like we, like everyone because this has been like a topic of discussion, like wokeness or SJWs. Like we've been talking about this sort of thing for years, but it blows my mind that like still to this day, like there are just a sizable amount of people that, yeah, no, you're right, will just say that like a trans person existing is politics. Like the fact that they have to just see someone who's black is like political to them. Like, I don't know.
It's
like,
the quartering meme.
It's the quartering meme.
You made it political.
And like, I don't know. Like, I feel like at a certain point, do these people not like realize like how weird that is? Like, I don't know. Are we the weird ones for thinking that like people can just exist and not be political? Because like, I don't know, man, like this is getting crazy. Like there's so many of these freaks.
I mean, I do believe, I am one of those people who believes like the personal is political, right? I believe that, you know, the people you surround yourself with, the sort of like the milieu in which you hang out, like that reflects back.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, I think that these people think that stuff as fundamental as like the color of your skin is political. Yeah. So if you are not white and then you appear in a space that they want to be white, you are suddenly politicizing their space.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing about, you know, Miles Morales infuriated everybody.
Which he's just like a character. Like they didn't just invent him. Like for Spider-Man 2, right. He's been around, you know, like I don't know how long. I'm not like a super
well,
big
Miles
Spider-Man
Morales
person.
Is an interesting case on this too, because like there were some grumblings about it too, but like by and large, the Miles Morales games have been well received, and a lot of the same people, and this is the crazy part, a lot of the people that are mad about Spider-Man 2 being woke were mad that Spider-Man 2 didn't win Game of the Year and Baldur's Gate did, because you can be gay in Baldur's Gate or whatever. Like, yeah. They don't have any real material demands.
There's
just
no
like
consistency either. There's really no consistency. Because, like, by all measures of, like, their conception of the world, both are woke, but they're mad about one over the other more. I don't know. That's fucking crazy. Go on.
I was just going to say, like, so Spider-Man 2 was like one of the best. I mean, like, it almost won Game of the Year. It's in unanimously heralded as one of the best games of the year. Another one that they get really upset about, too, is Alan Wake 2, which is another game. I've not played that, actually. In doing my research for this, I have decided I'm going to download and play because it sounds like a good game.
Alan Wake 1 is great. Yeah, I played the first one. Wonderful game.
They should change the name of that game to Alan Woke.
Oh, shit. Fuck, got him.
But again, they're mad, which I didn't really hear a whole lot of like rumblings against Alan Wake 2 until this. But like, they're mad because in this version of the game, you play as a black woman. In half of the game, you play half the game.
I didn't know that. So they're mad because the first game, you were a white man.
You're still a white man in the second one, and spoiler alert if you haven't played it, but I guess from my understanding of it, who has not played it, but just was reading about it for this, like Alan Wake is like writing a novel about like what happened to him, and it's through the perspective of a black female FBI agent. And that's like where, so it's like 50-50 between the two.
So what you're saying is they made it political.
They made it political. They made it political. They had to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just very, very strange that the criteria, the goalpost seems to be moving constantly, because didn't hear much about that then. Didn't hear much about Spider-Man 2 again.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Like I didn't hear about complaints about these either. I was kind of surprised that like I didn't hear anything at the time. I didn't even know that you played as a black character in Alan Wake 2, because I haven't played it. So I'm just surprised that, yeah, this is the first time like hearing about this complaint from these like
but
maniacs.
let's be fair, that was a lot further back from the election, so that's true. Why I didn't hear about it anyway. Go ahead, Alex.
Games like God of War, Ragnarok, or Alan Wake 2, both of which include black women in prominent roles in promotion, story, or both, do not touch on any political topics in their stories. Ragnarok, a game built around mythical realms, is about preventing the end of the world. Alan Wake is about the titular writer returning from an otherworldly prison and joining Saga Anderson to investigate ritual murders. There are a lot of games that I've been accused of working on, especially if they include characters of color or queer characters that have nothing to do with us, Belair says. I think it makes it very obvious what they think the pattern really is. Belair speculates that one of the reasons her company is facing ridicule is that Sweet Baby's harassers can't fathom that the people behind their favorite games would actually want their company's input. They have to assume that no, without Sweet Baby's intervention, that would be a white character, says Belair, pointing to the characters like Saga, the person from Alan Wake 2, because surely my heroes agree with me.
This is something I really wanted to talk about. All three of the people that I talked to who make video games, I asked them specifically, like, to what extent could a company like this actually make changes in terms of, like, think about what Alan Wake is. It's a fundamental, I don't know about Ragnarok, but I do know about Alan Wake just from what I read about it. You can't, like, that this stuff has to be planned out so far in advance, and you have a whole team of writers, and this is all planned before the game even starts to get developed, you know, potentially years before it gets to the point where you have a consultancy group doing, like, sensitivity readings is what they call them. And that's the thing that makes all these guys mad. Like, right. These consultancy firms do not make choices on character design. They don't do that. This is not BlackRock sending in their attack dogs to ruin video games. These companies have willfully made the choice to make these stories long before the consultancy firms get in there. And that was one thing that all three of the people that I spoke with were, like, very, like, adamant about.
Yeah, no, it also just says a lot that, like, the whole thing is, like, with this is, like, the fact that these characters exist in these worlds, like you mentioned, the games like Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake. Part of this, at least from what I have seen of this, and I'm looking at an Elon Musk quote tweet of the Matt Walsh video that you referenced earlier, and keep in mind this kind of represents what Elon Musk views as propaganda. But Elon Musk says video games need to get rid of the woke BS. Getting lectured with tedious propaganda is not why people play games. As far as I'm aware, there's not, like, propaganda being expelled.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with that statement in theory. Like, sure, yeah. I don't want to be preached to in a video game, but that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what's happening in any of these games related to Sweet Baby at all. Like, it's just fucking crazy that this is a part of the conversation. And, like, what's the propaganda? Can you outline what you think the propaganda is? Because I can't see it unless you're saying the existence of minority, like, figures in these games.
Kim Belair has a great quote. It's her next quote in this piece, and I feel like it sums it up so nicely. She says, "I'm a huge Uncharted fan. Why is Nathan Drake white? It's not a thing we have to justify. He just is."
Yeah. No, that's, like, how it should be. That's, like, the most if that's, like,
I just had a really good idea of, like, we should start a gaming studio where we make an all white cast, but we make it a thing that they're white. Like here's my white friend. Like, wouldn't it be really funny?
Like we over explain, like, oh, these are the whites. These are the white crew. This is the whites. Yeah. Yeah? No, that would.
We could have eaten a cheese sandwich.
Do you think that would piss these people off? Like, that we're explicitly saying that they're white? Do you think that would, like, make them so mad?
Of course it would piss them off. They don't have any real demands. They just want to be mad about
things. Oh my God, I can't wait to make my new fucking video game with white protagonists.
It's never been
done. You guys
done.
Aren't going to believe this. This episode's got this video game has everything. It has a white protagonist.
Holy
it has
shit.
You know, the other thing that I think about all the time is the guys who are mad that Lara Croft's boobs got smaller, because in those early games, man, she was just triangles. Mm-hmm. You guys are nasty freaks.
Yeah, those were polygons. You really, there was hardly anything to
use your imagination to jack off back then, man.
Like, they
that's
were that
why they're
big.
So mad is you had to earn it, man. You were, like, just fucking cranking. Like, you can't even really get in the mood. You just really have to think about those triangles. Then you earned that. You were a gamer back then if you jacked off to the triangles.
Yeah, like, that's just the smallest they could make them. That was, like, that. That yeah, they dude. Wanted to make them smaller. They just couldn't.
this is a totally, like, this is a ridiculous aside, and I apologize, but apparently the guy who designed Lara Croft designed him to based on his sister, which could not be more unsettling.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Maybe years of awkward Thanksgivings.
Yeah, Jesus. Why would he admit that?
All right, I'm moving on. Online, other devs at studios Sweet Baby worked with have come to the company's defense. In a thread on X, a writer from Insomniac Games confirmed that as consultants, Sweet Baby offers ideas, feedback, and writing, but none of that gets into the game unless the core dev team agrees with it. That's in all caps. The writer, who has since locked their account, posted, "Sweet Baby is not, nor is any consulting group, coming into rec games. They're helping smooth out plots and deepen characters. They ease the burden on the core narrative team." The thread's top response was, "Get out of our hobby and take them with you."
Jesus Christ.
fucking Christ.
These people are...
That's the guy who's making your hobby, dumbass. Yeah.
It's wild how they are just working overtime in alienating the people that create the only thing that they have in their lives that they care about. At least that's what it seems like, that these people only have this. Like, we're kind of shitting. I mean, we just recorded a whole episode about gaming, so it should be obvious we're not like anti-gamer, but I'm certainly anti this kind of gamer, you know?
No, sorry, I'm anti-gamer. I don't give a shit. I'll just say it.
Okay, no, let me fix that. I'm not
Madden
anti-
doesn't count.
I'm not anti-gaming. I am anti-gamer.
I'm ashamed at the number of hours I've racked up on certain games that I will not.
We're all gamers. Yeah. I know. I'm coping. Fuck it. I'm coping. Yeah. We're all gamers.
Yeah.
But I also know that the same people from our Discord server who brought this to me initially, who are also gamers, were probably like nodding while I was like, fuck gamers at the beginning of this episode. Because they're like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody knows when you say like, when you talk about gamers, you're really just talking about like guys like the Quartering or whatever. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It's like an aesthetic. It doesn't really have anything to do with like how much you play games. I feel.
I'm really interested because like a lot, like from the first Gamergate, there was so many people, just so many figures that we're still stuck with to this day. They just won't fucking go away. Like you mentioned before a couple times, the Quartering, he was from the original Gamergate, and Ian Miles Chung, he got his notoriety from the original Gamergate. Yes. So of course
he was
mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing. He still has some of his old tweets up where he's like interacting with like leftist people and like he used to be woke, which is a really funny time capsule to look back on. But it's a lot of these figures of course are getting involved yet again, like Ian Miles Chung. I'm kind of curious, and I don't want this to happen. I'm not trying to manifest this, but I'm really curious to see if this will create any like new figures in the way that like the first one kind of.
Well, I think
did.
This Cabrutus guy might be making a run for it. He's on the media tour for sure. I don't know if he's got the juice though, because again, I mean, like, who's to say by the time this episode comes out, he could be doing like Holocaust denial or whatever. But yeah. I'm just like going based off of what I've seen so far. Like now that he's like with, you know, rubbing elbows with all these people or whatever, he could be worse. But like based on everything that I've seen, he's like actually trying to keep this whole thing vaguely sanitized and like acceptable for the mainstream. I don't know. I really have no idea.
I mean, he seems like a bad dude though, still at the end of the day.
Again, yes, correct. That's the correct opinion.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I just think that it's worth like a distinction. You know what I mean? Between like your garden variety, like gamer and like a fucking,
like a Matt Walsh. Versus,
yeah. There's like gamers that like have those opinions. And then there's like the Pepe Hitlers who go in and be like, yeah, dude, guess what? You know, who's ruining your game. It's the fucking Jews, dude. I'm telling you, it's the Jews. So like, there's a spectrum of like people involved in this.
And they're all horrible. They're all the worst people you could possibly ever know. Sadly.
Yeah. I sort of feel like anytime a person identifies as a, like, I'm a gamer in that I play video games, but I'm not a gamer in that like I adopted the, the gamer lifestyle. In the same way that like I collect records, I don't consider myself a record collector because those guys are insufferable fucking weird gatekeepers who will get mad at you about the dumbest shit. The only thing is that they don't have like the market heft and like the online presence of the gamer community. Those guys are fucking everywhere and they're all psychos.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of why, like you were bringing it before, and this article touches on as well, that it's like, it's no coincidence that it's an election year, and there's no coincidence all of these people that by all indications hate video games, like Matt Walsh, are getting involved with it because it is like a pipeline. Like it is a political pipeline. That is the ultimate underlying goal here, is to like red pill. I hate to use that phrase, but they're like trying to red pill like another generation of like either young people getting involved, not really knowing what's happening, or like bringing it back out like from hiding, I suppose. Like it's all a strategy, like a very intentional strategy that I would not be surprised if those like freaks were organizing behind the scenes. The fact that like Elon Musk, all of these people started posting about it the same day, like they planned that, like all these, like this is a scheme that's like underway currently. Yeah, pretty bleak. Like I don't know. It's fun. Like, I was hoping we would be able to like laugh at like a really like funny failed attempt at Gamergate 2, but sadly the right wing grifters are all out in full force trying to capitalize off this.
Which is just, it shows you how nakedly transparent this is. Like, again, this is just like the original Gamergate. You take a kernel of like a valid criticism, which can you like objectively report on somebody or something when you have an intimate relationship with them? Okay. Maybe we can have that conversation, but that's not the conversation that ever took place, by the way, even though ethics and gaming journalism is the meme. Well, guess what? Nobody actually ever had that conversation. So now we're talking about, you know, our consultancy firms are ruining games for the sake of like cynical capitalism or whatever you want to say. That conversation is never going to take place, by the way. It's never going to take place. So no matter how hard they try and sanitize this argument, it's not worth having because they don't actually care. And it's never going to, that conversation is never going to happen. It's always going to be about, you know, Jews are ruining video games. There's too many black people in my video games. It's this and this and this, because this is just a culture war tool used by conservatives to swing an election. That's all this is. It's all pipelining.
Absolutely. Yeah. Goddamn. Holy shit. We're back at it again. Time is a loop. It's never ending. We're back. The band's back together. Ian Miles Chung, the Quartering. This is the most exciting they've ever been.
I unfortunately feel like I have to get back on Twitter now because I have to see. I honestly, this is so fucked up because like I told you guys earlier when before we started recording, like I've been kind of like anxious about this episode just because all the drama that comes along with this kind of subject material and like how I've been basically dunking my head in a toilet for 2 weeks straight consuming this bullshit content.
Yeah.
But I did have a thought. I want to get back on Twitter because I want to see what Email Chong has to say about all this.
Believe me, he has been posting about it. He has.
Yeah, I bet. But it's like how, like, again, though, like I know he's posting about it, but like what's the reaction and what are his takes? Because he's the canary in the coal mine. You know what I mean? That guy's the biggest piece of shit grifter. He, whatever way the wind blows, that's where he's going.
And absolutely.
Curious to see what like the engagement is like on those posts. So I guess it's time to get back on.
Yeah, no, I think, it's time to reintroduce yourself to the brain rot of Twitter. But yeah, I also did just want to say is like, at the end of the day, this is a political like project for a lot of people, but it's also a grifting project. Like Gamergate 1, massive grift. Like you could just
people made careers on
They did. Like the Quartering. The Quartering is an example of that where you could just make Gamergate videos, like videos about, videos adjacent to it, and you would just become like wealthy because there's sadly just like there was an audience at that time. I don't think this one's going to be as big. I will say that. I don't think
Gamergate
it's going to
get 1.5 is kind of where I'm at with it. Not quite 2, but we'll see. We'll see as the election heats up. However, if it does heat up, I am going to be leaving the podcast and becoming the Quartering 2 and making YouTube videos on how I left. I left the woke left. That's my new move.
You were sick of working with someone with pronouns. God damn it.
Yeah. Shit. Judy Knox tried to make me introduce every show with my pronouns and I wouldn't do it.
So. It was the DEI funding. Sorry. Yeah.
That's all that BlackRock.
We're funded
by the BlackRock money so bad, dog.
seriously. I mean, but you know, it's so funny that I am generally not a fan of the phrase every accusation is a confession, but like if there's any media ecosystem that is fully funded by nefarious billionaires, it is the right wing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, dude, that's the cynical part of it.
It's the right wing.
It's the cynical part
of it. Benny Johnson has not made a video for anyone other than his handlers for the past 10 years. And that guy's so rich.
That's like at the end of the day, it's like a cynical thing. They don't actually believe any of this nonsense.
Steve Bannon got his, like, the idea to pipeline right wing video games through, like, founding a company that, like, was like farming WoW gold. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, like,
man.
I'm imagining a different reality me when I was like 15 years old playing RuneScape, and I like the thought crosses my head where it's like, oh, I could like red pill, like I'm gonna start a flax weed farming operation and also create a cadre of Nazis at the same time. Like,
hell,
that's fucking crazy. That's fucking crazy that anyone would think of something like that. That's fucking that's maniacal. It's like goofy.
You have to
goofy.
Be a real piece of shit to come up with that idea. Yeah. Both of those ideas, first of all.
Both separately, but putting those together, holy shit.
Yeah, like he got private equity money to start a WoW gold farming.
That's funny. Yeah.
That's so fun. That's honestly, that's so fucking funny, first of all. So you want to see like, you want to see where like private equity's interests are. There you go. Start there, by the way. No one ever talks about ruining video games. Well, guess what? Gold farmers do ruin video games, and Steve Bannon was fucking doing it, but we're not having that conversation either. No. Because none of this shit actually fucking matters.
Yeah,
because
at the end of the day, what's going to, like, how is a game going to change in quality if, like, a black character is removed? Like, nothing. That's not the conversation they want to have. It's not really what the conversation's about.
I think, honestly, as punishment, gamers should only be able to play games that are made for, or made, excuse me, made completely by white people, like straight white guys. Like, yeah. None of it. They lock a team of like 100 white guys in a basement, and they can't have contact with the outside world. They can't have any, be influenced by any culture.
Yeah.
They just have to write. It's like the monkey typewriter theory, and just let them make games. And that's all you're allowed to play. If this is what do you care about?
I think even better, we need to, like, if gamers start complaining about this shit, they need to be able to, like, you remember those type of games that like they were games, but they were like games that taught you how to like type properly, you know, like, should be the shit that they play, like educational.
Yeah, you have
games.
To do like your multiplication tables, and then you can fly around as an airplane or something.
Yeah. Like that's what they deserve. That's what they fucking deserve for complaining about this bullshit and making me think about.
Yeah,
this.
From now on, if you're in that fucking forum, you're only allowed to play number. Yeah.
Hot dog stand. It is. Get ready to learn. Economics. Let's teach you small businesses. Hot dog okay. Stand it is today.
Do you guys have anything we want to plug? We want to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I got nothing to plug at the
thank
moment.
Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say, end the episode with this. We're like, this is probably not done. I don't know how much it's going to continue. So like our official position, I think, on this as of now, is this Gamergate 2? We don't know. We're in keep an eye on it mode, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping this is like the only time we have to talk about it, but like if we talk about it again, I hope it's because it's spun out of control and like it spurted out into nothing
before this episode is even released, by the way.
Yeah, well, but yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. I just hope it becomes nothing and it's laughable and everyone laughs about it because it was like really pathetic. That's like what I'm hoping, like that's what I'm hoping we talk about next if we ever talk about this again.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. Patreon.com/Western Kabuki. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
That's it for the main feed episode of Western Kabuki. But on our Patreon, patreon.com/Western Kabuki, you can hear Juniper regale us with stories of complete weirdos and freaks from the Super Smash Brothers competitive community, of which she is a part. We're also joined by Ringler, another member of that community who has a lot of amazing stories. You should check it out. Again, that's patreon.com/Western Kabuki. All right, see you next week.